It escaped the three skeleton key. Tired of the everyday routine, ever dream of life, romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you escape. Escape designed to free you from the four walls of the day. Half an hour of high adventure. Tonight we escape to a lonely lighthouse of the steaming jungle coast of French Guiana. A nightmare world of terror once. Jean, picture this place, a grey tempering cylinder, guarded by iron rods and concrete, the key itself, a bare black rock, 150 feet long, maybe 40 wide. That's a low tide, a high tide, just the light rising 110 feet straight up from the, out of the ocean. All about it, the churning water, grey, green, scum dumbled. Warm as soup and swarming gigantic bat-like fish. Great violet schools of Portuguese men of war. Yes, sharks, the big ones. 14-footers. If that wasn't enough, there was the hot, dank, rotten-smelling wind that came to at us day and night of the jungle swamp. The mainland, a wind that smelled like death. Center base of light was a watertight bronze door. Door opens, Jean, and in you went. Door slams shut, footsteps upstairs. Jean, and up, yes, up, and round, past the tanks of oil, coils of rope, cases of wicks, racks of lanterns, stacks of spuds, cones and cans, and up, and round, over the light storeroom, was the food storeroom. Over the food storeroom was the bunk room. There were three of us, where the three of us slept. And over the bunk room was the living cooking room. And over the living cooking room was the lights. Footsteps stopped. Jean, she's a beauty. Bounced on a ballerina, a glistening steel axle, a rotary mechanism. Slow, steady click of mechanism. It is heard all out of the night scenes of Lighthouse Gallery. Jean, all night you lie there on the stone deck of the gallery, the light revolving smoothly and quietly over your head, raising a bright white light eye, 360 degrees around the horizon. You lie there watching to see that the feeders keep working. If everything ran right, it wouldn't be bad. You have a two feathers snoring their snacks, two levels down. You smoke your pipe that kills the stink of the wind. It wouldn't be bad. About those other two, Lewis and Gusty. Huh, what a pair. Lewis, his head man, was a big fellow, the best country. Black beard, little hard black eyes. Pair of arms that, I tell you, those arms as big around as my legs. Yes, head man he was. And what word he let go was law. Silent fellow, though I spent my first 2 weeks trying to strike up a real conversation. The most I ever could get out of him was Lewis. Jean, I took up his profession because I don't know people. They talk too much. It's quiet work, light attending. Let's keep it that way. You're getting to be as bad as Gusty. I thought maybe for once you send me somebody who could keep his mouth shut. Jean, that was Lewis. When he accused me of coming like Gusty, I quieted down. Because Gusty was the talkiest man I ever met, talkiest and ugliest, was a hunchback, stood over 4 feet high, red hair and blue, big blue eyes. Seems he'd been an actor in Paris. Gusty played in over 200 different productions, dear boy. The Grand Garoli. Oh, death, but it was monstrous, horrible. The way we used to scare the audience. I was hated. Yes, yes. He used to throw things and hiss and bare their teeth at me. Finally got too bad. Couldn't stand it any longer. Gave it a fit on my nerves, you understand. Yes, gave it up completely. I really did. I couldn't stand it any longer. Jean, it all started one morning at 2:30. I was on watch, lying on the cool stone deck, pulling my pipe, staring out the blackness, fluorescent comas, a big yellow stars. When? At the corner of my eye, I noticed something show up for a second. Something the light had touched far off. I waited for her to come round again, and then she did. There it was. Three masts, a big one, a half a mile off, coming down at the northwest, coming straight for us. You must understand our light was there where it was for very good reason. Dangerous submerged reefs surrounded us, and ships kept clear. But this one, the sailing vessel, was coming straight on. Jean's brisk footsteps, Jean. I went over to the gallery door and looked from the old down. Yeah, it was Lewis, Lewis. Lewis yells from below. Huh? What is it? Jean's ship headed for the reefs. Jean yells from below. I'm coming right up. Jean, I had the glasses out now. I couldn't read her name, but I could see her quite plainly. All sails set, the foam creaming way under her bow. She's beautiful lines of Dutch ship. I guessed her. Why didn't she turn? Every time it passed, a light hit her, a glare of day. Lewis' footsteps approached Lewis' ship. Where? Jean, northwest. The light would touch her in a moment. Lewis, oh, well, can't she see us? Jean, look at her. She just keeps coming on. Lewis disgusted the squareheads. Sir Augusty's footsteps approached Gussie. What is it? What is it, Jean? Watch. Northwest. Gussie, after her falls. Oh, I know what it is. Lewis, what? Gussie, the Dutchman. Fine Dutchman. He did it in a play about her once. Oh, the performance is ghastly, going hag red limbs, curse driven, mask on and on. Nurse, oh, shut it, will you? I suppose, oh, she's laughing. Nurse, yes. Nurse, it's a sloppy way to come about. Realises she's derelict. That's it? Jean derelict? Lewis abandoned. Crew left her for some reason or another. Instead of sinking, she's gone on running before every wind. I guess she should not be long, run long. Not with those reefs to break her up. There's a beautiful ship now. Why would men leave a ship like that? Jean, she didn't just ram us, though we all respected it. But as we waited for the crash, she luffed again, caught some old gust and went about. We watched the rest of her's black hours, heeling and rocking, pushed and pulled. Every stray wind, every black creek current, washed all into the till the dawn of time came, till the sea turned from black to pearly grey, and she came again, heading for us. We had our glasses trained on her now. Lewis, Augusty, you could kill the light. Augusty, right, Chief. Jean, she doesn't look so good by daylight. Think she'll be ground this time? No, answered from Lewis. I say, do you think she'll ground this time? Lewis stunned. He says, it's impossible, absolutely impossible. Jean, what? Lewis, here, take my glasses, they're better than yours. Jean, all right, what is it? It's your pauses. I had a focus, and then my breath froze in my throat. Decks were swarming with dark brown carpet. It looked like a granitic fungus, but undulating on the masts and yards. The guys all were hundreds, no thousands, no millions. I don't know, an ancestral number of tremendous rats. Do you see them? Jean, yes, I see them. Lewis, now we know why she's derelict. Jean, yes, now we know. Gussie approaches. What are you two doing? Here, give me a look. Do it to Jean. Yes, give him a good glasses, Gussie. Take a look, chatterbox. Give you something to talk about. Jean, she's still heading for us. Yes, yes. Gussie whimpers in fear. Jean, is she going to turn? She'd better turn soon. Lewis, suppose she doesn't. Jean, you mean suppose she piles up on the quay? There's a slow tide. Jean, yes, it is. Lewis, well, where's all the conversation? Why? Where's the conversation, Gussie? Here. You want the glasses again? You want to take another look? Gussie, no, Jean, she's still coming on. Gussie, it's the ship. Go away, Lewis, the ship. Turn, will you turn? I say, pray, turn. The ship breaks apart on the reef, Jean cracked up. Gussie, rats look on the water like a carpet. Jean is swimming. Lewis, is sure they're swimming. They're ship rats. Jean, but they're swimming for the dock rocks. Gertie, the door below, it's open. Gina, well, come on. Three sets of footsteps race down the stairs. Gee, a time we went racing down the stairs, up stone stairs, taking them three and four at a time. Scared? You bet we were scared. There's a Gusty, you get in the windows. Maybe they can climb, we don't know. Gussie, white chief, but hurry, hurry. Footsteps slow to stop. Gee, Lewis, look. You see them? Gee, oh, yes, I do. Up at the other end of the rock. Millions of squeaking rats growing louder and closer every second. Lewis, look at them. Gee, oh, the millions. Lewis, oh, they smell us. Here they come. Door groans but does not close. Lewis, well, close the door. Gee, strange, I can't, it's stuck. Lewis, here, let me. Grunting, they struggle with the groaning door. Finally slamming it shut. Level squeaking continues. Gene made it. Lewis, holy, that was close. Sound of single rat squeals. Gene, look, one got in, look there. Lewis, well, get him. They chase the rat, howling and kicking. Gene, watch it. Kick him. Lewis, what a brute. Gene, he is as big as a tomcat. Bigger, his eyes were wild and red, his teeth long and sharp and yellow. He went for us, Darby, ravenous. We fought him, fought the one rat all over the room. It was, oh, believe me, don't exaggerate, like fighting a panther. Finally, after death blow, the rat screams and dies. Lewis, I've got him. Dean, we'd better get aloft. Lewis, yeah, stop steps running up. Gene, as we ran up the winding staircase, we passed the tiny windows of various levels. Everyone was thick, wriggling, screaming, cut in a brown fur. Head of Lewis, I dreaded each successful level. Further, he found a way in. Millions of squeaking rats in the background. Lewis, Gusty, look at them. Oh, will you look at them? Lewis, it's a nightmare. Gusty, will you look at them? Gene, and the air in the gallery was thick, confused with the stink of them. Light was dim, brown, filtered through the cooling mass that swarmed above over glass all about us. They couldn't see the sky, nothing but them. Their red eyes, their claws, their wriggling, hairy snouts, and their teeth, their rats. They screamed, they hollered, and threw themselves against the glass. They were starving, we free. So as his voice stood very quietly, oh, very, very quietly, in the centre of the glass room. Under our beautiful light, and we waited. Augusty, Pax, what can we do? What can we do, Chief? Lewis, take it easy, take it easy. Gussie, I can't, Gene. Why, it wouldn't do you any good to. Won't do you any good to stand there and shake. Lewis, that's right. Augusty to the rats. Go away, why, do you hear me? Go away this instant, Lewis, sturdily. It won't go away, not until, Lewis, you finish it, Chief. Not until what? Lewis, well, until they've been fed, Gene, you take just so much horror, then you could get used, you could take just so much horror, then you can get used to it. They were interesting to watch, you know. They couldn't understand the glass. They couldn't see us, they couldn't rush at us. But the visible thin barrier held them off, stopped them. From time to time, we caught a glimpse of the box below. More rats down there, swarming brown velvet in the bright tropical sunlight, and then the tide began to rise. The Gusty was sighing, if only a drown some of them. Gusty, ship rats don't drown, Crack calls nervously. No, sir, you can drown any one of them. They're all climbing up the tower. Lewis, this bunch around is getting thicker. Gene, yes, yeah, say, what's the time? A Gusty called us a six. Lewis, you've got first watch, Gene, right. Lewis, wake me at 10, Lewis, Gene, I will. Lewis, come along, Augusty. 10 footsteps away, Gene. It was getting dark. One side of the room was still lit by soft, little red sunset. And oh, the rats, very pretty. I could see the wicks check my fuel and then lift the lamp. Rats panic. Gene, it caught them, lit them in a gigantic whirling web of pale, hairless bodies, bellies, twitching red tails, bright lines, and then I started a rotary motor. Motor starts mechanism coils, straight, rise up and down, a Doppler effect, and the rotating light hits them. Dina Light drove them mad. She swung slowly, slowly about. She blinded them in terror, stabbing barbed light. Moving continually about, ever turning, ever touching, ever moving around and around. And they twitching and struggling, eyes flaming, they struck by the light, a bright light moving them behind the dark side of the room. So close that they dared not turn my back. You couldn't help turning your back when you're in a room made of glass on the dark side of the room. You couldn't see them. Their eyes, thousands of points of black, red light, blinking and twinkling like stars of hell. And when I came up to the gallery early next morning, they stood Augustine back to me, bowing to the rats, waving his arms and making a speech. Augustine, my dear friend, audience, I'm going to play again a minuscule role that may be the toast of Paris Theatre, Paroletti, the evil genius of medieval underworld. I am he who did guide the dark soul of de Rossi into evil parts, clinics medically. But do not be frightened, dear children. I have not hurt you much. Jean kept turning. I stood staring at him, horror-struck. He didn't notice me. Man had gone mad. He kept turning, telling his stories to all the rats, leaving no one out. To Gusty, to Jean. I'm another one, a latecomer. Take a seat and turn it on, dear patron. Jean, Augustine, stop it. Augustine continues his speech under. Durandjuri, a blood-stained monster, was my partner in the country. Together we disemboweled over 400 little children, leaving in warm blood splattered. Jean and Eric, but he didn't stop. He went on, bowing and scraping to the rats, big and red, blue eyes rolling and winkling. Winking his big red hair, wild red hair, waving about and grabbed him by the arms, then slapped in the face. Jean slapped his face. He looked at me like a child, and then his face screwed up. Looked as though he was about to cry. Harshly to Gusty, go below, go on. Gusty, oh, very well then. Directs later, my dear audience. Later, we're out to meet today. Jean, sure he was crazy. I guess we all were. A few hours later, here I caught Lewis and me teasing the rats. Yes, sounds horrible. It was fun. We could get right up against the glass and make faces at them. Drove them crazy. They would scratch away trying to get at your eye. Lewis was even cuttier about it. He would pull a piece of bread out of his pocket and press it against the glass. Lewis laughs. Jean, the rats would scramble into a solid ball, biting each other, clustering little like grapes. From time to time, a whole knot of them would slip and fall 110 feet to the surface below. Lewis, look at the sharks. Jean, they're eating them. Lewis, those sharks are our friends. Oh, here. Let's get another lunch together. Laughs to the rats. Hey, my beauties. Is that? Oh, that's it, Pollock. Killed each other. Huh? Laughs. Rats shriek and scratch loudly. Then suddenly pull away. Lewis, there they go. Jean, Augusty joined in the two. It's very ingenious. Augusty learned that if he spread eagled himself against a glass to bunch the bundle against his figure, then they'd leap back. Augusty, look, my paper changing rats. Jean, if he went on all day and then I was lying in bed. It was about midnight. I was very tired. I was just beginning to fall of a sleep when I came conscious of a new sound, odd crunchy noise. Jean couldn't figure it out at first. I got up, lit the lamp and went to the window. Even as I looked out, I saw one of the panes begin to sag in. It had eaten the wood away. Jean yells, Lewis, come back, come quick. Lewis, what is it? Jean, they found a way in. And I held the glass within my hand. Now they're all going crazy and assured the success of this manoeuvre. They've all in every way in the wood. Lewis ran below and returned with a large sheet of tin. Hammering nails, Jean, we spread it against the window, hammered it into place. Even as we did so, we felt the heavy bodies thudding against the weather side. The window gave away. Hemi stopped Lewis. There, that ought to hold. If it doesn't, we're done for. Jean runs. Bats can't run, eat tin. There's no, they couldn't. Distant crashes grass Jean. What was that, Lewis? I don't know, it came from below. Jean of the storeroom window. Footsteps on the stairs, sheets racked loudly. Lewis, they're in, they're swarming up the stairs. Jean, drop the trap. Lewis, right. Wooden doors dropped. The two noisy rats shriek. Jean, two of them got in. Lewis, let's go after them. Two men fight with two rats. Jean, we didn't have to go after them. They came to us, a leap to one side, and Brad, Malin spikes sprung, and smashed one in foot into midair. A rat is smashed. Lewis hollers in pain. Jean, I whirled to see Lewis with the other. It ripped his hand open, his blood was pouring out. He held his hand aloft, kicked at the resounding rat. I stepped and swung and got him. Another rat killed. They stole my hand, he got my hand, Jean. That's both of them, Lewis. I've got you something to tie that up. Okay, get you something to tie that up. Blood, look at my blood, I'm bleeding. Jean, don't worry about it, Lewis. Here, I'll twine his handkerchief around it. It'll be okay. Lewis whimpers, blood. Lewis whimpers, blood, Jean. Finishes trying. There, that's not bad. Just a flesh, no aches. I've become conscious of a new sound. Quiet munching noise. Jean, they were gnawing their way through the wooden door, trap door. I watched the wood, fascinated. And even as I did, it began to give way. A bristling, whispery noise showed through. To this, we got to go up. Scrambling footsteps up the stairs. Jean, the next level was the living quarters of the kitchen. I slammed the trap door. Another wooden door slammed shut. Jean, but it too was wood. Lewis whimpers to himself, my blood. So Jean, what are we going to do? Jean, I don't know. If we go through this one in a minute. There is the gallery. The trap door in the gallery is metal. Good, come on. Footsteps ran upstairs. Metal door, trap door shown shut. Jean, we made it. Squeaking rats, we laid across the trap door exhausted. While below us, the rats took over the entire tower. Could hear them howling and fighting over our food supply, a water, a lever. And all around us, the others screamed and glared at us, swarmed a tangled mess hypnotized by the ever-turning light. But the morning air in the little room was horrible. Till now, we'd been getting air. The tower below, now that was sealed off, so there was all our food and water. We lay exhausted, panting, waiting, and the hours crawled on. I was almost dozing from fatigue when I saw a sight that brought me to fast. Gussie to the rats. Would you like to come in, my beauties, would you? I hold the power of life and death. I can let you in if you know. Jean, Gussie was standing by his glass, and one hand he held a big wrench. Wrench cracked some glass. Jean is tapping the glass gently. It's not quite enough to break it. I ease myself to my feet and slowly, very slowly, tiptoe towards him. Gussie's a rabbit. All I have to do is trap it just a little harder, Anne. Jean tackles a Gussie and knocks him unconscious. Jean, I found a coil of wire and a toolkit. Trust him up, fasten him to stanchion. Stanchion of the centre of the room. Lewis is no help. He lay on his side. Look at his bloody hand, weak and sick as a baby. So there I was, a lunatic. Care of a company, and all about watching on a little drama of rats. A day dragged by, the supply boat was due for another 12 days. I don't know what they could have done if they had come. I had only one way of summoning them. That was to shoot off press rockets. But the rockets were for those below. Even if they'd been right there in the gallery, I couldn't have opened the window to fire them. That night I tended the light, but if its flame was drained oxygen. The following day we lay the first dismantled, starving, waiting. The following night, I was again tended to light by the small supply, bare wicking, it kept in the gunnery, become exhausted quite suddenly. About midnight, the light went out. Squealing rats, stream. There was nothing I could do. Wicks were spoiled, 3 levels below. Nothing I could do, nothing. From time to time, I strike a match to see the clock. Much strikes rats react, and Jean, and when I did, it lit up a million red eyes about us all, about watching, waiting below. It was grown quiet. It cleaned us out, and now they too were waiting, all waiting, and the rats came quite suddenly. Well, sonnet. Long pause of sonnets. Jean, and then I heard it. Distant, correct plays, mournful, tuneful, plaintive tune. Jean, and now I saw the sky, the stars, as a gone, I went to the glass, and the water full freighter, barn a boat, showing a few lights, came softly in as he towards us, and our lights was out. He didn't know. I wanted to open the windows, call out to them, warn them somehow, but I was afraid, and what his reps were hiding from me, tricking me, so I waited. Jean, she surrounded very softly on a reef, not 200 yards from the quay, grounded but so gently, man playing the cornet. Was he a passenger, crewman, or off watch? Didn't even stop playing. They tried washing her back off. I could see them. I could have told him to save fuel. Tide was rising. Then I would have floated her free, and I waited. Charlotte hits a slightly shallow note, a long silence. Jean, that's all. That's the story. The sun came up. There wasn't a rat in the whole quay. Every last one of the terror army left us. Got back to sea on the new ship. Dusty, insane asylum. He never recovered. Lewis, they took him to Canaan. He died of blood poisoning from his bites. Your sepsis, yes. That's the whole of it. If you excuse me now, I must be set my traps. Tickle, no mouse traps. Why are rats in this house? I could say, should say that. Out in the lights isn't bad. But sometimes when I see strange vessels approaching, I am a little nervous. Sure, somewhere on the seas, there's a little banana boat about crew. It is about a human crew.